Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are overwhelmed by the magnificence of your grace. We realize that it is only through your mercy that we can gather together in spirit, that everything we do is utterly dependent upon you. Therefore, we ask you to clear away from our minds, souls, and bodies anything that would distract us from what your Spirit wants to say today to the churches. We ask that you would fix our hearts on you and transform our lives through your word. We trust your promise that your word will not come back empty, and so we believe that we shall be changed by what we hear and read. We also ask that you would form us to be the servants you have called us to be, for your honor and your glory, and your praise unto the ages of ages. Amen. I wonder if anyone here knows the definition of the word half a log. I didn't until this week, but you'll know exactly what I'm talking about in a moment. Even if you've never heard of a half a log, you've experienced it. A half a log, apparently, is when you hear one side of a dialogue. So hence half. It's a real word. It's in the dictionary. This usually happens when you overhear someone on the phone. They're talking and oftentimes saying some very interesting things, but from the outside going in, you only hear half of it. It can leave you scratching your head. What exactly is this conversation about? In a sense, we experience many of the New Testament epistles as half-a-logs. In the New Testament, we have Peter, Paul, James, and John all writing to individuals or individual congregations, usually responding to a crisis. Sometimes, for example, in Paul's letter to the Galatians, the missing side of the conversation, the side that we don't overhear, is more or less articulated by Paul within his response. So it seems that the issue in the Galatian church is that there are those within the church whom Paul refers to as Judaizers, who are insisting that Gentile converts to Christianity must be circumcised in order to be fully accepted by God. Today we read from Paul's letter to the Colossians. And Colossians is notoriously difficult in terms of using the half-a-log that we have from Paul and trying to ascertain the precise details of the issues that the Colossian church was facing. It seems, though, that there were those in the Colossian church that were effectively saying, repentance and baptism into Jesus is not good enough. So the big question that Paul is answering in this epistle is that question. Is Jesus enough? To this question, Paul has an answer and a warning, as we see in today's passage. First, the answer. Paul answers the question, is Jesus enough? He says, yes, Jesus is enough. And paraphrasing, I'd say what he's getting at is because Jesus plus nothing equals everything. I know we're not all math students, so let me give that to you one more time. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. He writes to the Colossians in today's text, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him. It seems that the Colossians were thinking maybe Jesus is kind of the first installment of this God thing, and we need to keep working our way up the ladder until we get to big God, deity God. And he says, no, the whole fullness of deity, everything that God has to offer, comes through Jesus Christ. The second half, he says, you have fullness in him. And literally, that is, you are fulfilled in him. There's nothing else to look for. Everything is in and through Christ. Paul also explains how this idea of Jesus plus nothing equals everything works. He writes, when you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. We were dead in and in debt to our trespasses. Christ died on the cross, covering the IOU that we were unable to pay, which allowed for our forgiveness. And it's in baptism that this transaction is acted out. This transaction is not purely mechanical, though, as if salvation of the world could come about by us clergy with fire hoses, just making sure that everybody got wet. No, there's more to baptism than just the water. Paul writes, when you are buried with him in baptism, you are also raised with him through faith in the power of God. On occasion, we see this faith in the power of God articulated by the one being baptized. A few weeks ago, we had an adult. A while earlier, we had older children who were able to speak for themselves in terms of them articulating their faith. But even when that faith is unable to be articulated by the one being baptized, such as the case with William James this morning, parents and godparents step in as proxies of the faith until the time when the child can articulate their faith on their own. So we have Paul's answer to the Colossians: Jesus plus nothing equals everything. But he also issues a warning. Throughout the letter, Paul warns the church by effectively saying, while Jesus plus nothing equals everything, Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Remember what Paul said about Jesus. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Repentance and baptism does truly bring us into the body of Christ. But it seems that in the Colossian church there were false teaching which claimed that baptism into Christ was not the way to completeness. Further degrees of initiation were required to move up the ladder. As if they were saying, yes, you've repented and been baptized, but now you need to. The church has fallen into this trap throughout its history. In order to be a real Christian, you also need to wear certain clothes, celebrate days that are particularly holy, not eat or drink certain foods, vote a certain way, raise your kids a certain way. That's a habit of ours. We always want to add something more to it. The list goes on and will continue to get longer. The long and short of it, though, is when you add anything in order to secure your salvation, you're effectively subtracting the completed work of Jesus done on your behalf. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. So how do we live our lives, remembering that Jesus plus nothing equals everything, and remembering that Jesus plus anything equals nothing? Martin Luther's advice was to daily return to one's baptism. So always go back to it. Always go back to it. He did it in this phrase: I am a child of God. I am baptized. I believe in Jesus Christ crucified for me. Allegedly had that written right on his mirror, on his desk. He'd see it every day. I am a child of God. I am baptized. I believe in Jesus Christ crucified for me. Daily returning to that idea. Today, as the gathered body of Christ, we return to our baptism as we affirm our beliefs in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We return to our own baptism in watching William James be baptized. If you've come to faith in the saving work of Jesus and have never been baptized and are interested in being baptized or learning more about what it means to be baptized, please see Cynthia and I after the service. That's something we'd love to do. There's nothing to be ashamed of thinking, oh, this never happened before. This is something that can happen now. And so as we consider this idea that Jesus plus anything equals nothing, and Jesus plus nothing equals everything, let us pray. Adapting Paul's words to the Colossians. So as you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Amen.